You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is a great day. It's a Monday, January 18th, 2021. And well, if you notice in the backdrop in my, if you're watching, you'll see that it's a beautiful sunset over New York City. Well, are we seeing New York City permanently sunset? Or is there a future for New York? That's what I'd like to know. With us, real estate expert, you see him all over the place, Ken Van Loo. And Ken is an expert on Manhattan skyscrapers, one of the foremost experts. It's great to have you on the show. So, Ken, what's the future of New York City?
Harry, thank you so much, sir. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, that's been the question. You know, it's been a complete disruption. You know, even myself being an expert in New York, there's a lot of questions, you know, because the dust hasn't settled yet. You know, there's a lot of things we could talk to today because there's so many different markets in New York City. And, you know, each have a little bit different dynamic, you know. For example, you know, commercial is getting clobbered because of just the entire shift in what's going to happen with office space. Companies, some have made final decisions. People just aren't going back to work, you know. Retail has always been, I guess you could say, challenged by the internet, and it's starting to hit New York. So, you know, what we're seeing is New York's having a tremendous impact. Obviously, I think a lot relative to the politics and COVID. And, you know, look, we can maybe even talk about each market sector at a time. And I'll tell you at least what I think and how people should behave, you know, but I think you mentioned in some of our previous conversations right now, there's been like a complete exodus from New York City. I had ongoing projects where permits were shut down. You know, governor basically said, you know, nobody can go to work. There were a couple of my projects that we were able to get what they called was essential service permits just to keep things going. But, you know, for a guy like myself, you know, I'm feeling young, but getting up there in age, you know, you start thinking like, you know, should I be walking around New York City with all that stuff going on? But, you know, I'm here to figure it out, you know, and creating a lot of groups and masterminds to see what's the next step. What are you seeing or what are you hearing?
Well, look, I foresaw this collapse of the welfare states. Many, many years ago, probably I was too early on it, but I saw the trend was inexorable because New York City and state have been overly dependent upon Wall Street's coffers, taxes, any largesse they could get from Wall Street for really a couple of generations now. Yep. And they chased out other business. And you see, you've got a person like Comrade de Blasio, who on a good day is a psycho, on a bad day is just pure evil and demonic, and he wants to destroy the city. And nobody is trying to stop this man from destroying the city. And Killer Cuomo hasn't done much himself. I mean, look, in New York, you don't have the ability to recall governors and mayors, but the governor has the right to recall any state or local official based upon dereliction of duty or misdeeds, malfeasance. And he allows de Blasio to run rampant, roughshod over the city, destroy the place, stands idly by while Macy's is sacked. And, you know, Macy's being sacked is like the fire at the Alexandria Library in yeah. Egypt. It was a really seminal event. So unless leadership suddenly asserts itself, effective leadership, competent, I'm talking like a Mayor Giuliani, I think the city's got a path and it's straight down. And it's even if you do get a masterful mayor like Giuliani, it's still going to go bankrupt because their revenues are so far down.
Yes.
There's no place to go but bankrupt for New York.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And it's nice that you bring it up because what recently occurred just put icing on the cake, which was already an effing disaster, I guess you could say. You know, the properties, you know, just devalued constantly, landlords handcuffed, you know, where the real estate capital of the world all of a sudden is not so attractive, right? You know, you handcuff the thing down, you put limitations on everybody, and then, you know, you milk the cow for so many years, take advantage of, like you're saying, taxes, raising the prices, making, you know, projects that no longer pencil out. We're right at the top of the cycle again, you know, property prices at $800 a square foot. And now things are going to be completely leveled. You know, New York no longer may stand above it all. I mean, over time, I think in long term, it's going to come back. But right now, there are some serious challenges, and the news hasn't even gotten out yet, you know.
Yeah. Well, I just read the other day that tenants in New York City are $1 billion in arrears.
Yes.
All right. So that's bad for the tenants. But think about the landlords. That's the difference between being able to pay your mortgage and going into default and pay your taxes. So we're going to have massive defaults, massive tax defaults, and massive foreclosures. Is the market there, the well-heeled, moneyed class, are they there this time to pick up the pieces? A lot of times, New York's been bailed out by foreign property owners. Are people from Hong Kong going to be buying with two hands because they need to get out of Hong Kong due to the recent crackdown? The international trends potentially could mitigate some of this. But right now, if you got your choice between a piece of swampland, the worst piece of swampland in Florida that's submerged in 20 feet of water, or something adjoining Central Park, you probably are prone to go for the swampland.
Yeah, you know, property in New York is taking a nosedive. You know, will it come back? Yeah, I mean, 20 years down the road, you know, the entire, it could be a totally new place. We have no idea. Right now, I don't think anybody has the answer. What do you do with millions and millions of square feet of commercial if companies just decide we're no longer coming into the office? You know, landlords, you know, I mean, it will help companies, you know, and the whole question is, you know, do you get your productivity? But, you know, relative to New York, you know, it was in trouble. It is in trouble. And you know, I mean, we have to take steps to make it happen. You know, the thing, like you just said, whether the bailouts are going to occur, whether people are going to step up with the money. I know the foreigners are going to come in with money and take advantage, and, you know, they'll just take more control of different areas. And that's what's going to happen. You know, I mean, there will be opportunities, I think, long run, but it's, you know, if I, like you said, we're going to invest my money right now, it would not be in the city. I would wait till the numbers come down.
And who could blame you? Who could blame you? The crime's out of control. There's no political leadership either in Albany or in New York City. And look, when you look at like the Camden project there, not Camden project, you know the one I mean, by the Coliseum, you know, that new mall, that one's like, yeah, gone. And all over the city. Yeah, by the Javits Center there, you know, that retail shopping center that was built.
Yep.
All new, nice and shiny. I don't know what the point of it was. It didn't make any sense to me ever. But somehow, and then, you know, you walk up 2nd, 3rd Avenue, 5th Avenue, and you just see empty store after empty store, empty store. And on the apartment buildings, you see signs of vacancies. I never saw that in my adult life in New York City, yeah, where landlords were advertising vacancies with signs. I've just never seen that in the 50s, maybe in the early 60s. But from that point on, it never happened. So we're in uncharted territory here for sure.
Yeah. And for people that, you know, that are, you know, looking to step up, if, you know, if you move into the city now and you could deal, you know, with the disruption and you can hang out for, you know, 10 years, you know, you'll get your money. You'll adapt. You know, I think, I mean, it'll come back. But right now, you know, I mean, we need leadership desperately. You know, I've been looking at different properties, and, you know, it's one of those things where everybody's just stepped back and starting to observe. You know, the problem is we can't sit back too long, because then other people are going to move in, take advantage, and then it gets even tougher. But, you know, I think, you know, hopefully, you know, someone's going to step up, because right now the current leadership is, I believe, in total chaos.
Yeah, that's putting it charitably and deliberately so. The guy's been a moron from the first day that he went into office, yet they managed to reelect him. But so looking ahead here, obviously, real estate is a local business, and there's hundreds of local markets across country. What markets would you be looking at now?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Doré Copper Mining is a premier, near-term, high-grade copper and gold redevelopment opportunity with tremendous exploration potential only 14 kilometers from the town of Chibougamau in mine-friendly Quebec. Doré Copper is debt-free and owns a 2,700-ton-per-day mill with an 8-million-ton tailings facility ready to be used. There is already power to site, and it is accessible by paved highway and rail. Doré Copper aims to produce a profitable hub-and-spoke operation of over 100,000 gold-equivalent ounces per year, or over 60 million pounds of copper equivalent by 2024. Because of the existing infrastructure and location, a low capex is anticipated to recommence production. Doré Copper trades under DCMC in Toronto and under DRCMF on the OTC. To learn more, go to dorecopper.com. That's dorecopper.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Yes. I mean, outside the metropolitan area is absolutely booming right now. I'll touch upon, you know, where the shift of the money is happening right now. But on the outskirts, Connecticut projects are, you know, working great. People are investing money. I'm doing two large New Jersey projects, a lot of affordable housing. Two of my projects in New Jersey are on affordable housing, mixed use. And all I hear from, you know, all my kind of ecosystem is that there's no inventory. People are, you know, exiting the city. And I think what's going to happen is money's going to start exiting the foreign countries and coming into the United States. But everything is on the move. And, you know, I think almost every rental market in the country, you know, of course, surrounding cities, growth areas, just outskirts of growth areas are all going to boom because of the COVID. A lot of people are now going to say, well, you know what? I'm not going to work as much. I don't have to spend as much time and money on gas, you know, parking. I'm going to spend a little bit extra money and maybe rent a house. So there's been like billions of dollars worth of shifts of money into single family rentals throughout the country, which is interesting because I would normally never recommend that stuff in 100 years. And now it's a different type of investment. You know, it's a much, much lower return. Nothing that, you know, that would ever compare to New York City, but, you know, people are, you know, moving, shifting around, and we'll be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, I'm a metropolitan guy, and, you know, I'm looking at what I could do to make it better and see what opportunities come about, you know?
Yeah. So what about the concept of people fleeing to lower tax environs? And you see this all over the place, Tennessee, Texas, Florida, no state income tax. South Carolina, even Georgia, lower state income taxes. And you go across the country and you see that the less rapacious the state government is for tax revenue, the better those states are doing. There's got to be a day of reckoning for these poorly run, inefficient, and just outwardly bankrupt states. Like Illinois, like New York, like New Jersey, even Connecticut, arguably, even though it has prosperous spots. So many California, you know, you look at these states and they've got to change the way they do business. Just like you might not be going into the office now, you're working at home. I've been doing that for 8 years, so I can't complain. But so many of you out there are working from home remotely. All my kids are working remotely. And they don't need to be in Manhattan. One daughter of mine, son-in-law, moved out already. The other ones, they own a place there and they're kind of stuck there, but they bought a place out on the island as well. So I guess they got their escape hatch. But really, the whole purpose of cities, the whole function that they serve has changed. So we're going to be seeing the fallout for this really for decades, aren't we, Ken?
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with it. You know, I in my book, you know, I talk about, you know, the economic pandemic, you know, of, you know, 42% of people retiring with less than $10,000, you know, growing up in New Jersey, you know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking, you know, and you're from Jersey, you know, we kind of just take this large tax bill for granted, you know? And then all of a sudden you wake up one day, you know, in my instance with, you know, three children and being pretty anchored with developments in this area, you know, I recommend, you know, people to move all the time. My friend's been in Texas for years. My parents are in Delaware. My brother's in Delaware. But, you know, in these challenging times, you know, I recommend to people, you know, if you're mobile and single, you know, you can house hack now. You know, you go, you move in, you let it season for a year. You know, if you could do it, why not? You know, I mean, you know, I never had the luxury. You know, you can't do that when you have a family. Yeah. But you know, and I think say that I didn't hear.
I felt the same boat. I was in the same boat as you. Now I said to my son, you know, go travel the world, go live in different places.
Yeah,
now's your opportunity. Hey, let's talk about your book. Yeah. So, what's the name of it again?
It's The Modern Wealth Building Formula: How to Master Real Estate Investing.
Right. And it's on Kindle audiobook. I've got it on the audiobook, I have to admit, even though they gave it to
me. Me too. I don't read books much more. I read enough stuff, but.
Yeah. So really you go into all this wealth building, real estate, regardless of what's happening in these once great cities, they're now ruined, arguably. Really, real estate is perhaps your best opportunity to build wealth over your lifetime, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I believe so. I mean, even in these toughest times, and, you know, I did it without having much money. I started with $10 a week and I figured out how to develop a $17 million project using other people's money and other people's experience, and then became an expert and kind of rinsed and repeated. But I found in these times, you know, it's the hungrier people that are going to look at the disruptive time and find the opportunities, and then they can create investment opportunities with the people with the money. And, you know, that's what the Modern Wealth Building Formula is all about, you know, creating these formation agreements with people that like to invest, that, you know, want to invest with trustworthy people. And the formula, you know, works, you know, and I was able to articulate it and put it in writing so that people can take advantage of what I was able to figure out and, you know, take advantage of some of the heavy lifting I did, you know?
Yeah. And that's a really encouraging sign too, Ken, is that with all the turmoil, with all the upheaval, everything else, it still works. The system still works. You're still making money at it and still expanding. So I think that's a really hopeful sign. You just have to change the target. Hey, people want to find out more about you. They want to connect with you. Obviously they can find the book on Amazon. Where else do you have it? I'll just repeat the name of the book again: Modern Wealth Building Formula, How to Master Real Estate Investing.
Yeah. Thank you, Kerry. And you know, and that's it. You know, it's about how to weather those cycles. And, you know, I'm pretty simple to find through social media. My website's kenvanloo.com, all one word.
Doesn't get easier than that. And there's a link to that in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for your free newsletter. We cover all sorts of different investing. You need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever, just like you need Ken's sage and intelligent advice. We really appreciate you coming on, Ken. Hopefully we will together weather this storm that has swept the country, but with the future is always uncertain, as they say. So we wish you the best. Any questions for Ken or myself, just email us kl@kerrylutz.com. Ken, a total pleasure. Good luck.
Thank you very much, Kerry. Everybody keep your head up. Let's do it.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.